Hey there, we are Rob and Joanna Tigan. Welcome back to the Growing Home Together podcast. We've been married for over 30 years and we've parented our five kids through all the ages and stages. We're excited to share our passion for caring for the soul of your family with you. Thanks for joining us. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey friends, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast today. Today, I would like to read a few statements from this amazing book and just see if you can listen close to see if the words describe where you and your spouse are at in your marriage right now. It says, "There comes a point in a marriage when it becomes clear that a couple's differences threaten to drive them apart. They're trying to get on the same page, but they can't find success. They're struggling to be connected and to work through challenging differences, but they can't seem to get it. They are stuck in some kind of cycle going around and around again. And you know, it isn't big issues like honesty or integrity. It's a million little issues that are adding up and beginning to wreak havoc on the relationship. It is relational death by a thousand emotional paper cuts."
Yes, and if those words are hitting close to home for you today, be encouraged because our guest, Carrie Trent Stachberg, wrote those words to describe what she calls the merge for marriage. She's going to help us discover how to overcome our differences and come together as a couple in a whole new way. So thank you, Carrie, for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. What an honor to get to be here.
Yeah, well, before we jump in, Carrie, we would just love to get to know you a little better and also what led you to write your book, The Merge for Marriage.
Yeah, well, my name is Carrie and I'm a wife and a mom of two little boys, and I run a nonprofit with my dad called Strong Families. And, you know, really the motivator behind this book was when Joey and I got married. We got married later in life. We were both in our 30s. And it just seemed like he's a great guy. I think I'm a pretty decent person. Why is this so hard? You know, like 6 months in, we were both looking at each other going, have we made a mistake? And really that emotional death by a thousand little paper cuts is what it felt like, because it was just these tiny, small things that just kept adding up and adding up. And we really did. We hit a point where it was like, either we're going to come together and blend these differences, or we're going to be absolutely torn apart. And as we walked through that journey, I realized, you know, this is something that has not only helped us, but could potentially help others as well. So that was really the catalyst behind this book. And it's something that we've lived and are actually still walking through today.
Yeah, that's great. Well, can you tell us a little of just your story that led up to this and maybe one of the merge moments in your marriage?
Yeah, well, you know, I think for me, I had been actually married before. I was in an incredibly abusive relationship, and the Lord literally rescued me out of that. That was actually how I came to Christ. And that healing process was incredibly important. And so when I met Joey, it was about 7 years later, and I was really intentional and really picky about who that next person was going to be, because I really, really, really wanted it to be God's person. And, you know, we got married and it was phenomenal. And like I said, it was, you know, I think for me, the moment when I realized that we were incredibly different and our differences began to tear us apart. We had been married about 3 weeks, and I came home from the grocery store. We were getting ready to cook dinner, and I walk in and I see Joey standing there with a headlamp and like big yellow cleaning gloves. You know, the ones I'm talking about, like the serious cleaning gloves.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm sitting there thinking like, all right, where are we at here? Did a dog get sick? Is there a body? Like what? Like why do we need big yellow cleaning gloves and a headlamp? Like what is happening? And so I was like, "What are you doing?" And Joey, casual as anything, just goes, "Oh, I was just cleaning the sink." And I found out later he was actually cleaning under the sink, which I don't know who does that.
Wow.
Not me, that's for sure.
Yeah, that is next level.
It really is. And that was the moment when I realized I have no idea who I married. And oh my goodness, I really hope that he does not expect me to clean things that way, because that's not me. And so that was kind of that moment when I realized, okay, we've got some differences. And it just seemed like from there, things continued to grow and grow and grow until pretty soon it just, that question of, are we ever going to be on the same page? Is there anything that we're going to be on the same page about? And it really felt like in that moment we had a choice. We needed to figure out how to do that, or we weren't going to be able to do it, and we were going to be in huge trouble relationally.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I get a kick out of you sharing how you and Joey are different in your approach to housekeeping, because Rob and I have been married over 30 years and we are still pretty different in that area too.
Makes me feel better that we are not the only ones.
Oh no, not in the least. No way. But you know, if I think back to our beginning and kind of the moment when the merge, as you call it, really hit us, I would say it's around the issue of decision-making. We had some big choices to make when we were first married about going back to school together and how we were going to manage our money and all these kind of things. And I was pretty black and white in my approach, and I tended to make decisions quickly and then just never look back. But Rob was more methodical. I mean, he wants to examine things from every side. And so I interpreted that as him being overly cautious. And you know what it did is it shook my confidence in him as a leader. And of course, now, I mean, I value him so much, and I see that his slower pace has saved us so many times from a lot of regret. But I was kind of hoping you could speak into that for us, how even one small difference like that between a husband and a wife can actually be really loaded with assumptions and meaning. So why do you think that is?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And, you know, Joey and I experience that a lot. And actually, we're really similar. I'm pretty take charge, pretty quick to make decisions. I want to just deal with it yesterday. Let's just make a decision and be done. And Joey really needs time to process because he wants to think through all of those things. And that absolutely can create a huge level of conflict in your marriage. And especially, like you said, sometimes we look at that strength, and because it's not how we would do it, we see it as a flaw. Well, they're dragging their feet, or they don't really want to make a decision, or are they capable of making a decision? Or on the flip side of that, you know, Joey was going, she's going to make some really bad decisions. You know, why are you pushing me to make a decision? Like, do you respect me? Do you want my input? And so, as you can see, with that type of behavior and that type of mentality, we really have to flip the script. And we need to be able to look at the person that God has placed in our lives and realize God has placed them there for a reason, intentionally to complete us, not to defeat us. And so we need to be able to look at those strengths and, like you said, value them and really see the fact that God brought Joey into my life to slow me down so that I'm going to make better decisions. And we have. But he also put me in Joey's life because at some point you have to make a decision. You can't just keep going around and around and around and gathering more and more information. At a certain point, there's a deadline, or you're going to miss opportunities. So when we're really valuing each other, we go further together.
That's good. I like that. I like the complete and not defeat. I love that. So we've talked about now the, you know, Joanna shared the housekeeping thing. And, you know, when you come home from work and your kids are doing a cartoon strip of you and referring to you as cleaning man, you know, then you might have a bigger issue. A little bit of OCD must be creeping in there.
Awesome.
Hey, there was a song. This is how far it went. The Cleaning Man song. We should have him sing it for you.
I might need to hear the Cleaning Man song.
Yeah, it's better than there goes dad again. I can totally relate to those big yellow gloves and all of that. But you said, you know, in your book, you say that there are seven predictable areas of conflict. So can you share a little bit about those?
Well, yeah. And actually I'll condense it down because seven is quite a lot. So let's focus on like the big three, if that's okay. And that way we can kind of dig into those. And so one of those areas is what we just talked about, which is decisions. And typically, like we see, you know, some people are what we call, you know, infielders. And my dad created an incredible personality test a long time ago that we use that involves lions and otters and golden retrievers and beavers. And just real quick, lions are pretty take charge. They're pretty assertive. They're the boss, or at least they think that they are. Or, you know, these are the people that think that stoplights are kind of a tool of Satan. And so they'll drive through the mini mart just to keep the car moving. But they're phenomenal people and great to have on a team or in your marriage. Some people are what we call otters. And these are really, they're basically just parties waiting to happen. They're fun loving, they're energetic, they're joyful, they love to start things. They don't really finish very much, but they love to start things, and they're just kind of the life of the party. Glass always half full. Again, you know, great to have on a team, great to have in a marriage. And then we've got what we call golden retrievers. And these are really loyal. They're kind, they're caring, they're sensitive. They're really great teammates because they care about what everyone on the team is thinking and feeling. If you've got a golden retriever child, these are the kids that are going to send themselves to timeout when they did something wrong. If you've got a lion child, they're going to send you to timeout and you better like it. But again, they're great to have in your marriage. They're great to have in your home. And then finally, we've got beavers. And beavers are God's little architects. They're precise. They're detailed. They wrote the rule book. They've got checklists. They're the people that clean under the sink or get cartoons made about them because they are the cleaning dad. But they're phenomenal people. And again, they follow through and they close loops. And they're critically important to have in a relationship or on a team. And so typically when we're looking at decisions, lions and otters tend to be what we call infielders, which means when that ball gets hit, when that decision gets lopped in the air, they're going to step towards it right away because they're the first line of defense. They just want to solve the problem or make a decision. And then we've got our beavers and our golden retrievers, and they're our outfielders. So they're going to take a step back or to the side. They want more information. Or, hey, if the ball goes beyond us, there's no one to catch it. And so there's two different ways of really looking at that. And if we take the area of problems, you know, we've got a whole nother set of predictable areas of conflict. So a problem comes up. Why don't we do an example? You know, what's like a common problem that you guys have come across?
I would say discipline, right? Coming on the same team with, you know, how to manage your kids' behavior. Yeah.
How do you tend to approach discipline?
Probably outcome based. Like, how do we just turn this ship around?
Yeah. How do we not keep that behavior from happening again? How do we just deal with it once and for all kind of mentality? Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And then how about you, Rob?
I would say my approach is more, trying to figure out where everybody's at and why they did it and how we can avoid it and how they feel. And, you know, so I tend to do a lot of, I maybe over justify it kind of. And
sure.
In the process, as I'm talking to them, I'm like, oh, you know, I know they're tired. I know, you know, so then I try to figure those things out. And yeah, a lot of talking and figuring it out.
Well, and this is perfect because right here, look at that. You both have incredible strengths, right? I mean, Joanna wants to make sure that there is a positive outcome with this, that this behavior doesn't continue, that we're really solving the problem. And Rob, you're really trying to go, what led to this? Are they feeling cared for in this? That it's not just discipline, but it's actually a relational building tool where they're going to grow as an individual and know that this punishment isn't because they're a bad person, but because, you know, the behavior needs to change. And so it's really, you guys are forming a holistic approach, but in the moment, can you see how that would be a little stressful? Rob wants to unpack what happened. Joanna wants to just deal with what happened. And the kids are kind of caught in the middle, right? And so often that's how so many of us are. And again, that's a huge blessing when we're really able to look at it of, hey, let's let Rob shine and let's figure out what led up to this. What are the emotions going on? Let's make sure that the kids are feeling like they're heard in this situation. And then let's use Joanna's strengths to really be able to say, all right, how do we keep this from happening again?
You made that sound really a lot more pleasant than it feels in the moment.
Well, easier said than done, right? But that's kind of the goal, right? If we're really able to pause in those tense moments and realize, okay, how can we do this as a team? Let's figure out how we can utilize each other's strengths to really further this, as opposed to just now, you know, and I know for Joey and I, maybe never you guys, but now we're fighting. And then the kids going like, I either got off scot-free or what the heck is happening? You know, like mom and dad are so consumed with them getting on the same page that we're never really addressing the problem.
Yeah. And that, I mean, we can totally, over the years working through that, because we had to kind of work through that idea that a lot of times it came out as like good cop, bad cop, even though we weren't directly trying to do that. But, you know, in the heat of the moment, that's what it ended up with. So, yeah, you're right. We walked away and I felt like, you know, maybe hearts weren't cared for as much as they should have been. She felt like I wasn't supporting her. And because you're trying to, like you said, you're trying to do it all in the moment.
Right.
Not seeing how you can come together and be stronger together in it.
Right. Or even realizing that you guys actually have the same goal, which, you know, ultimately the goal is we want our kids to grow up to be incredible humans who love the Lord and understand responsibility and are able to make great decisions. And it's really hard to remember that in the moment, that we both are operating towards the same goal because we have such different approaches.
Right. Yeah. And then ultimately, when you're able to do that, parenting, even though it's stretching, it becomes one more part of your life that can actually bond you together. So I love that.
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely.
So I think a lot of us make assumptions about how we're going to come together in our marriage or how we intend to move past our differences. So, you know, if we just communicate really well or we're willing to compromise a little bit, that everything will be easy breezy. But then we get married and we do feel blindsided by how tough it is. And I love your book because you put a toolkit in couples' hands to kind of help them accomplish the merge together. And we were hoping that you could maybe explain what those tools are and how we could use them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know I only gave you guys two examples on that one, but I feel like that I hope that covered your question on the predictable areas of conflict, because there's so many and we could go into a lot of it. But I hope that really gave you an example. And really, the merge tools are kind of designed to help you with all of those areas. And there are five of them. There's five ways that Joey and I have found that have worked for us and have worked for other couples that can really help you become a team. But I would say before you get into any of those tools, and we touched on this just a minute ago, that first step really is making the choice to become a team and realizing that we have a common enemy. And that is the merge. It's not Joey. It's not me. It's not your spouse. It really is the merge. And you can choose to come together as a team to take this on, or you can let it tear you apart. And that really is kind of step one. And again, you saw that, like when we were talking just about the discipline example, when we are able to remember, to pause and remember, okay, we have the same goal. We might be trying to get there a different way, but we're on the same team. It can absolutely change the dialogue and the communication and the relationship as you're working through this. So that's really kind of step one. So there really are five merge tools. And these tools are really designed to help you blend those differences and to really come together as a team. And the first merge tool, we call it Stopping the Merge NATO. And the merge NATO is really that cycle that you find yourself in again and again and again. And again, I don't know about y'all, but I know for Joey and I, it seems like sometimes no matter how the argument started, we end up having the exact same argument, like again and again and again. And we end up in the exact same place again and again and again. And that's really kind of that merge NATO, which is a lot of times we get sucked up into a familiar argument. We get sucked up into familiar responses that leads us back to that same place. And it's really not helping us get anywhere. It's just destroying the attachment that we have with one another. And so really what we help people do in this first tool is identify what's starting that. What is actually causing the merge NATO to begin? And what can we do to stop it? Because we don't want to spin. We want to move forward. And so that's really kind of that first tool, is understanding that cycle and being able to stop it. The second one is one of my favorites, and it's making the mountain shrink. And really, in essence, this is how can we add attachment into our marriage? Because for a lot of us, when things are tense, when things are hard, when it feels like we're not on the same page, we don't feel very connected. And a lot of times, like I said, we don't think the other person's really got our back. Are you really going to be there for me when I need you? Are you really going to press in when things are hard? Are you going to reach back when I reach out for help? And that's really what this chapter is about, is solidifying that we're going to be there. we're each other's support team, and we can do that in really, really practical ways. And I know I'm doing like a high level overview here, but I'm an incredibly practical person. And so each chapter has date night activities and practical tools that you can use to actually implement this. I don't want it to just be knowledge. I want it to be action that you can put to work right away. So just know that while this is an overview, there really are action steps for you built into all of this. So that third merge tool, we call it merging at the speed of joy. And joy is so incredibly important to have in our marriage. And for many of us, when we were dating, joy was easy. I mean, that was just part of it. We couldn't wait to see that person. We couldn't wait to spend time together. We couldn't wait to be around them. And once those differences hit, as we continue on in life and just life happens, sometimes that joy can kind of take a back seat, especially if we're struggling. And so really, this tool is all about how can we bring joy back into our relationship so that we're having fun again and we're able to get excited to see the person sitting across from us at breakfast, and really finding a way to add fun and laughter back into our marriage if it's been missing or even if it's just been less than what we would like it to be. And then that fourth tool is spotlighting your spouse's strengths. And we've really talked about that a little bit on here, which it talks about those animals, the lions, the otters, the golden retrievers, and the beavers. It talks about predictable areas of conflict. And it helps you get a game plan for what do we do when those things come up so that we can really continue to be a team together. And more importantly, value the other person, even if how they're handling things are totally different than us. And then that final merge tool is untying the knot and being able to repair in your relationship. And this is probably the hardest one, but I think it's probably equally the most important. And really what this is about is how can we forgive and heal? Because all of us are going to have injuries in relationship. That's just part of being in relationship with each other. And some of us, we might have more significant wounds than others, but there really is a way to begin to heal that and to keep those from reopening every time that we have an issue with our spouse. And so it's a beautiful process of how can we begin to work through that together.
I love that. And that's why I think your book is so great for couples to get a hold of. Because I, you know, as you talk through those, I can see how Joanna and I have, and we're still working like all couples, obviously, but after 30 years, that we discovered a lot of those, but we did it just the hard way. A lot of times it seemed like we just had to, you know, figure a lot of those things out. And you do give so many practical tools on how to communicate and how to see. And I know, you know, just as you were describing those different principles, I just can see how God's been faithful when I look back just help us work those things out. It is a long process. And so your book just offers some great resources for that. And I know, you know, we're in a season in our life where our kids are starting to grow up and get married themselves. And I have to say, it seems like, you know, young couples today and, you know, just even talking to couples that Joanna and I have mentored, trying to come together today is it's a whole different world than when Joanna and I got married.
Absolutely.
And so can you explain some of the unique challenges that you think young couples today are facing?
That's a really great question. And, you know, I think they are numerous. But I think the beautiful thing is that no challenge is too big for God. So I think starting with that as the premise, it really is being able to say, okay, God, no matter what challenges each generation has, you've placed them in that for a reason, and you're going to equip them to walk through. But I think couples today, young couples today are one of the big things that they're facing is just that a lot less people are getting married. There's less people doing this, and there's a lot more people that are coming out of divorced homes or having that as a framework that kind of just feel like, well, if things get hard, I can bail out. But on the plus side, I will say this is also a generation that is very willing to get help. They're willing to go to speak to coaches or counselors. They're willing to do work. So I think while that might be a struggle, there's actually some positives in there. I think you guys can maybe see I'm an otter. I'm like a glass half full. You know, there's good news. Don't worry. There might be problems, but there's good news. I think the other thing that couples are really facing right now is that generally, collectively as a culture, we're really battling this idea of hopelessness and isolation. And they're kind of separate, but they're also connected. There's this hopelessness of, is there really a future ahead? And we're being told from so many different angles that there isn't. You know, whether it's, you know, climate change or it's just gloom and doom because of everything happening in the world, we're fed so many messages that there just really isn't a future. So why try? You know, why have kids? Why try to go through this life together? Well, why move forward? And that also feeds into isolation, which for so many of us, yes, we're in this incredibly tech connected world, but we have less deep and connected relationships than ever before. And we've actually lost some of the ability to know how to do that. And so I think they're really coming into an environment of, they're going to have to answer the question as a couple, well, what is our purpose together? How are we going to find community together? Because whether you're married or you're single, you need people. We are not created to do life alone, and you need people that are going to help you. And I know for Joey and I, that has never been more true than the last 6 months of our marriage. We were in a horrific car accident in July on the freeway. Two kids were street racing. One of them lost control and hit our car, and we flipped multiple times on the freeway with our 1 month old at the time and our almost 2 year old in the car. And I didn't know if Joey was alive when they took him away in the ambulance. And it's been a really challenging 6 months for our family as he has healed. Praise God, he is alive. Praise God, he is healing. But I mean, he's got a pretty significant brain injury. He's seeing double. I mean, it's just been a journey. He had, you know, a broken neck and a broken back. And without other people, we would not have made it through these 6 months. I mean, we had families showing up for us with food. We had families showing up for us with childcare. We had friends showing up to give me a break. We had friends showing up to drive Joey to appointments when I couldn't do it. I mean, we had people step in ways that I can't even imagine. We had people show up financially for things that I mean, God has just been so kind to us through community. And whether times are hard or times are really good, we have to have people that we're connected to. And so I think if I were to tell this generation anything, it's one, God's bigger than any challenge. And ultimately, yes, the world will end one day, but we know what happens when we trust him. And that's okay. But two, it's really, you've got to press into those people and do not give in to hopelessness and isolation.
Thank you for sharing that. And just know that we will continue in prayer for his healing and for your family. I'm sorry that you had to experience that together. Yeah. But wow, what a testimony though, like you're saying, of the power of community. And you're making me think about our daughter, actually, who is a young married, and she and her husband had been living out of the country for a year, and they discovered that there was a void in community for them where they were, and they just made the decision to move back to the United States. And I respect that. I respect that they identified that here was a significant need that was actually going to be a detriment to them as a couple, and they're taking big steps to search for it. So that is just a really neat confirmation from you that it's worth the sacrifices. And ultimately, it can be such a powerful way for God to minister to you as a couple if you let people into your world. So thank you.
Absolutely. And it's vulnerable to let people in, but it really is worth it, especially when they're, you know, people that you can trust and really do life with. And I will say, too, you know, these principles in this book, like, yes, Joey and I lived these out during our first year of marriage, but this is what we're falling back on now. We are using this again and again and again to help us through what I think is even harder than that first year of marriage. This is hands down the hardest thing either one of us have ever been through individually or together. But having a game plan, having tools, having just that process is incredibly helpful for us, even in this crazy situation that we're navigating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see
that. And way to go for your kids to be able to make that choice. That's not an easy choice.
No, it's like you said, and those decisions, you know, to your point, when you've just been married a year or 2 years or 5 years, you know, they're harder to navigate because you haven't had to navigate big stuff like that before yep. together. And so all of your differences really come out and show up and highlight during those tense times and those big decisions. And that's why, you know, merging together and figuring out how we can utilize these each other's strengths, which we might see as weaknesses, is why that's so important. And I'm not an otter, so I'm going to flip the coin and say, you know, young couples aren't the only ones that struggle. You know, there's a, right. there's a lot of couples that have been married, you know, like Joanna and I, more than half of their life has been together, and yet they feel stuck and they feel like, you know, it's not going to change and they're not going to be able to merge together. So yeah. what would you say for that couple that's been maybe married a while, but they don't have any hope in it?
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, the longer trials go on, the harder it becomes to think that things can change. You know, it says in the Bible, you know, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And so I think if that's you and that's your story, my first piece of advice would just be that more of the same never brings change. So it's time to do something different. It's time to take a different step. It's time to take a different action. And, you know, sometimes that can be really challenging because especially when there's a lot of hurt, we can be saying, well, I want my spouse to be the one to make that choice. They need to step towards me. They need to be the one to make a change. But hear me on this. It takes more strength to initiate peace. It takes more strength to take that step towards someone. And, you know, Christ did that for us when we didn't deserve it. And so, you know, we absolutely have the ability to initiate change in our marriage. And so that would be my first advice. Find something different to do, whether it's this book, whether it's getting into coaching or counseling on your own or together as a couple, but do something different and watch change begin to start. And the other piece of advice that I would have is actions dictate feelings, not the reverse. And what I mean by that is that when we start acting as though we care about somebody and love somebody or things, you know, then our feelings catch up. And so don't wait until you feel like it. You know what I'm saying? Because you're probably never going to feel like it. And so start making those positive moves, start taking action, and our feelings tend to catch up behind us. And C.S. Lewis talks a lot about that in his works, and the Bible talks about that too. But sometimes we just need to get moving. And so that would be my advice, is find something new that you can do.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Thank you. You know, as we're talking about our differences, I do think that those go past just our behavior and they go down deep into our personal history, right? And our personality, like we've been talking about. So how do we become the kind of husband or wife who has empathy for our spouse's background and who can ultimately, you know, celebrate what makes them unique?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So I think it really does first, it starts first by understanding who has God placed you with? What are their unique gifts and strengths? And again, a lot of times when we're dating, it's really evident, or we're sometimes even attracted to that person because of those differences. Oh, they've got this incredible strength. Well, I'm not that way. That's an amazing quality to have. But when we're stuck together in the same home or placed together in the same home, those differences can become grating. And so I think it's taking a step back and really going, okay, who did God create them to be? And one reason why I love the assessment that we have so much, if you go online, you can actually take the assessment and it'll tell you what animal you are. You get 15 pages back on your strengths, but it's completely built around relationship. And so there's tools in there on how can you communicate differently? How is somebody else seeing that? How does an otter view that situation? How does a lion view that situation? How does a golden retriever view that situation? And so the more that you can become a student of your spouse, the more that you're going to see those things as strengths instead of just challenges or opposition to you. The other thing that I think is critically important is this choice to bend. And again, that's one thing that I love about this assessment that my dad and I have built, is that I love personality tests. I'm one of those people that like loves to take them because I think they're fun and interesting. But built into this one is the assumption that there are going to be times and situations where we need to bend. And here's what I mean by that. Jesus always did the most loving thing when somebody most needed it. And Jesus is the perfect representation of all of these animals. He was a lion, he was an otter, he was a golden retriever, a beaver, you know, and you can see examples of that in the Bible from, you know, he was the lion of Judah, he was the lamb of God, he, you know, partied at the wedding and turned water into wine, but he also completed things. He, you know, completed what he came on earth to do for us. And so, but he was able to say, you know what, this is what that person needs, and I'm going to choose to do that. And that doesn't mean erasing your identity or changing who you are. But let me give you a really practical example. So Joey, my awesome husband, is a golden retriever. And I am a lion otter, which basically means I lead the way to the party, or I'm like really serious about the amount of fun we're going to have at the party. So we noticed early on, or I noticed early on, that when Joey and I came up against a problem or a decision, I had the tendency to really be able to steamroll over him if I wasn't careful. And also I had the ability to talk over him because I'm a verbal processor. I wanted to talk through all the things, and Joey needs time to think. And so what I began to realize was that it wasn't even just what I was saying, but my level of intensity and the way I was talking was actually causing Joey to shut down. Because he wasn't hearing my excitement. He wasn't hearing my, like, oh, let's solve this awesome problem. He was hearing intensity. And so I realized, okay, I've got to change my delivery if I want Joey to feel like he can be a part of our conversations. And so we took this assessment when we were dating, and I actually took it again about a year after Joey and I were married. And I had virtually no golden retriever whatsoever before Joey and I got married. And when I took it a year later, my golden retriever was my third dominant character trait.
Wow.
That was because I had chosen to say, you know what? I've got to soften because I want Joey to feel loved and valued, not because I need to change who I am or those awesome strengths that God has given me, but because my husband needs me to. And I love him enough to make the choice to do that. I'm still a lion otter, but I have a heck of a lot more golden retriever than I did. And it's paid dividends in our marriage.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And hey, we'll make sure to put a link to that assessment in the show notes, because I think we're all going to want to head there after this.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. It's like the jungle Enneagram kind of.
Yeah, it kind of is.
That's really good. And, you know, I think that from what you shared about what you've been going through the last 6 months, you're probably the best person that we could ask this question. But you know that in our ministry and in our church community and in our own family, we really do want to serve as an encouragement to young married couples. So since you have been on the receiving end, what word of advice can you give us for how to best support the couples around us?
Wow. You know, I think a lot of it is just meeting people where they're at, and being willing to say, you know, essentially, you know, the chapter that talks about making mountains shrink, there's a clinical study in that chapter that talks about how when someone is standing alongside of us and they put their hand on our shoulder, it actually makes challenges seem less challenging. And I think as a mentor, as an encourager, the best thing you can do is to come alongside people, to put your hand on your shoulder and say, I'm going up the mountain with you. I don't know what that, you know, I don't care what the challenges are. I don't care what things have looked like. I'm not going anywhere and I'm going to be here. I think knowing that you've got somebody in your corner is really the greatest thing that you can do, because so many people are trying to do things alone. And just that act of saying, I'm here, I'm with you, you don't have to do this by yourself, can already add so much hope to people that are really struggling or want to get that help.
That's really good. And, you know, I know this has been really encouraging, and you've just given a lot of great insight to how we can come together and start coming together in some of these areas to merge our differences, and thank God for our differences and see how they help us. So I know there's probably husbands and wives listening who are struggling with that merger right now. And so I'm just wondering if you'd mind praying for them and just ask that God would meet them in that.
Yeah, I'd be honored. Lord, I just thank you, God, that you are bigger. You are bigger than our differences. You are bigger than our challenges. Lord, you're bigger than the wounds and the hurts that we have received from one another. God, you're bigger than our failures. And Lord, I just pray right now for every couple, God, that you would just strengthen them, that you would give them vision of hope, that you would just give them opportunity to do something new, to do something different. God, that you would bring people around them to walk with them, to help the mountain shrink, that they would know that they don't have to do things by themselves. Lord, but there is a community that is available to them and that you are always available to them. Lord, I just ask that in this challenging season, Lord, that people, that couples that lean on you, that they would just be blessed immensely, Lord, that there would be just a light that is able to shine through them in their connection, Lord. It's never going to be perfect, but Lord, I just pray that you would meet each one of us in our weaknesses and in our struggles, and that you would be able to go before us and to heal us. Give us wisdom on how to do that well together, and to genuinely become people who love you and each other and others like Jesus. And we just love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Carrie. And I would just call on the Growing Home listeners again to just continue to lift up you and Joey and your two beautiful kids as well. And so I know people are going to also want to get a hold of your book and any other ministry resources and find more out about you. So where can they go to do that?
Yeah, you can either go to strongfamilies.com or you can go to carrietrent.com.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, I know they're going to find so much there. You have so much to offer. So thank you. And thank you so much for this time.
Yeah, thank you both. Well, it's been such a pleasure. And thanks for letting me pick on you guys and being vulnerable too. So.
Oh, absolutely.
Anytime.
Yeah. And thank you, friends, who joined us for the podcast today. Rob and I would love to connect with you over on our website at growinghometogether.com. You're going to find all kinds of resources to help you grow closer in your marriage. Be sure to download our free marriage devotional and check out our book, 101 Prayers for Mr. and Mrs., to help you build intimacy with God and with each other. At Growing Home Together, we're caring for the soul of your family.
And Growing Home Together with you. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Growing Home Together podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and found some valuable insights to help you care for the soul of your family. Remember to check out growinghometogether.com for more resources. And stay tuned for our next episode coming your way soon.